Good morning and welcome back to another edition of Phillies Today. Kyle Forsini back with you guys for another half an hour. And for the first time this season, it feels like our baseball team is on fraud watch. No, I'm not going to go that far and say that they're actually on fraud watch. But what I am saying is there is some reason to be concerned over the Phillies this past week, the road trip that they just went on, the game that they played last night. Look, we're going to dive into all of it, all of the issues that they're having from the bottom of the order to the pitching rotation and some of the things that have stuck out to me that I'm not necessarily a fan of at this point in time. But look, today on April 15th, the Phillies are 9-7. It is better than they were last year when they won 95 games. They were 8-7 through this point last season, so they are a game better so far. There is a lot of positives to take away, certainly, from what's gone on with the Phillies earlier in the season, but you can kind of flip that on its head. And since April 8th and they went into that series against Atlanta, there's been a lot of negatives to take from the past week of baseball. But look, that's just how things are going to go. That's how the baseball season is. It's 162 games. We all know that. We all understand that there's going to be highs, there's going to be lows, and they're just in a low point right now. Not something that they can't come out from. I'm not going to tell you that I'm hitting the panic button. The fraud watch was a joke. But we're going to dive into all the things that are concerning, though, and why they might lead to some concerning results throughout the rest of the season, not just this small sample size that we have had over this past week. As always, we will look around Major League Baseball and just kind of run down what some of the other teams in the league are doing. If you're just a fan of the Phillies, you're not as much a fan of baseball in general or as a whole, and you don't watch other teams play, I think it's important to just kind of give a rundown of what other teams are doing, the surprise teams that are in baseball, the other teams that, you know, maybe are doing exactly what you thought they'd be doing, and the teams that are either surprisingly good or surprisingly bad. So that's what we'll touch on at the end of this episode. But like I said, April 15th, the Phillies are 9-7. It's time for us to dive into this. Now, they played 2 out of 3 in Atlanta. Before the last time that I was on, the Phillies were going to Atlanta. They were, I believe at that point in time, 7-2, I want to say, was the Phillies' record going into Atlanta in that series, and or 6-2. And unfortunately, obviously, lose 2 out of 3 in Atlanta, lose 2 out of 3 against St. Louis, and then last night they come back home and lose game 1 against the Giants. And this season, I had somebody ask me this yesterday, and I know I've talked on here about this before, where the Phillies' schedule this year kind of is just going to be a lot of ping-pong and back and forth between road trip and home, road trip and home, road trip and home. They don't have more than 7 home games all season long. They do have about a 9-game road trip at some point when the season, I think it's in August. They go on a 9-game road trip, but it's largely going to be like you're going to be home for 1 week, then you're going to be away for an entire week. You're going to be home for 1 week, you're going to be away for the entire week. That's kind of how it's going to go. Now, they're home. This is, I believe, their longest homestand of the year that they are on right now. It's a 7-game homestand with 4 against the Giants and then 3 against the Marlins. But a team that was not good on the road like we saw last season, I know that they started out good on the road, but then they couldn't find a way to string together a road win series. You know, they were playing on teams on the road and dropping 2 out of 3 or getting swept and looking bad while doing it. If you remember at the end of the All-Star break last year and even leading into it, I think they had lost something like 6 or 7 consecutive series before they finally won one. And being on the road was a large part of that. And we're starting to see a little bit of those road struggles happen again this season. Now, in Atlanta, I just want to touch on it real quick because I know it was last week. I don't want to spend too much time on it. But game 1 was the game that Zach Wheeler started, where Johan Rojas and Edmundo Sosa have the miscommunication in center field. The ball drops right in front of him. That kind of feels like a microcosm of what's gone on with the Phillies over the past week. Miscommunication, bad offense on top of that, not great starting pitching from a guy that you would expect it from. Right after that, Wheeler gives up the home run, gives the Braves the 3-1 lead. The Phillies do battle back and end up taking a 5-3 lead in that game. Unfortunately, though, bullpen and Wheeler not able to hold that down, and the Phillies end up losing that game. Look, you're not going to win every game. You're not going to win every game in Atlanta, even though they are a massive disappointment so far this season, are the Braves. They are still a threat and still have that offensive lineup, that offensive team, those guys in that lineup that you feel like at any given moment can wake up and can go on a run. And unfortunately, the Phillies might have been the team to do that to them. But then game 2, you've got the Taijuan Walker start going. And of course, if anybody has paid attention to the Phillies in the last couple of seasons, when there's a big series coming up and you got Wheeler and Lizardo and Walker, it's like, of course, they're going to lose the two starters that are, you know, the Wheeler and Lizardo starts, because those are the ones you think they'd win, and they'll lose the Taijuan Walker, and they'll win the Taijuan Walker start. And that's exactly what they do. Walker goes 4 2/3. He doesn't give up a run. He does dodge a lot of traffic on the Bates pad and is able to get out of it a lot. Trey Turner hits the go-ahead run in the 9th inning against Raisel Iglesias in that game. Phillies win 4-3. So that one, obviously a big win, but only one win since then. They lose 4-2 in 11 innings in Atlanta in game 2 of that series. They had that three-hour-plus rain delay, whatever it was, in that game. They decided they want to stay there as long as they can to get that game in. Phillies, unfortunately, go down in that one 4-2, walk-off home run by Marcell Ozuna after the Phillies had taken the lead in the top half of the 11th inning in that game. But then they go to St. Louis, which is like an area where they have played well historically in the past couple of seasons. They have won there in the postseason. They have owned the St. Louis Cardinals in recent memory, kind of a team that feels like it can be a get right after you lose your first series of the year. Let's go to St. Louis. Let's right the ship. Let's find a way to get back on track. And unfortunately, does not happen. I mean, Aaron Nola goes out five innings, two runs in game one of that series, and just not enough. It's a shame because Nola has not been terrible this year. Obviously, his first start against Washington, he faltered the most, but even since then, he's gone six innings, three runs, five innings, two runs. Is it Cy Young level caliber stuff? No, but it's certainly more than enough to keep you in the game. And the issue with that is he's gotten one combined run of run support in those last two starts. I mean, the offense has just done nothing. And in large part, that's been one of their biggest issues of the last week and a half, is the offense not hitting with runners in scoring position, them not getting base runners on, they're not hitting the long ball, and that's become a massive issue for the Phillies so far this season. They do win game two of that series. Christopher Sanchez throws a gem, goes 6 1/3, one run, eight hits. He does scatter eight hits and has only three strikeouts, which is a little unlike Sanchez, but the bullpen locks it down. Only one hit given up by the bullpen. They win game two against St. Louis, and they go down 7-0 against the Cardinals in game three of that series. Zach Wheeler, and he is somebody, he didn't have his stuff against Atlanta. He was missing location. He was getting away with a lot of stuff that was kind of thrown over the middle of the plate. Velocity might have been a tick down in that game in Atlanta, but you didn't want to put too much stock in it. But then when the same thing flares up against the Cardinals, it is a little bit of cause for concern. Now, I say this only because Wheeler's velocity is pretty significantly down, in my opinion. Now, first inning, when you think he'd either be a little warmed up the most or, you think he's warmed up the most, you think he's the most amped up, you think that he's going to have the highest velocity. Not the case. I mean, he's sitting 96 in the first inning, which, look, is fine, and I'm not going to tell you 96 isn't good for Wheeler's fastball. We are used to certainly seeing it up around 97, 98 more consistently. But hanging around 96 in the second inning, the fastball velocity drops down to 95. In the third inning against the Cardinals, the fastball velocity drops down to 94. So there certainly are issues with his velocity right now that you look at and you're a little bit perplexed by, and you're a little bit thinking, you know, is this because he's aged a little bit? Is this because he's having some sort of dead arm or something, you know, some underlying injury that we aren't sure of? Is that the reason why Zach Wheeler isn't throwing the way that we know that he can? And the only answer you're going to get from that is it remains to be seen. I mean, it's going to have to just, you're going to figure it out on your own. You're going to wait and you're going to watch and you're going to see what happens with Wheeler over his next couple of starts. Now, he starts on Friday against Miami. It should be a favorable matchup in terms of a team that is not very good offensively, and it's in your home ballpark. It is a team that you struggle to face, but it should be a get-right start for Wheeler, I think. One that, you know, look, he has not had two good ones back-to-back, but you would assume he's going to right that ship and he's going to make it okay. So, look, we'll see. That's on Friday coming up. He's going to face Sandy Alcantara in that game, so it's going to be a good starting pitching matchup in theory. Obviously, last week he faced Chris Sale, and he thought that was going to be a great starting pitching matchup, and they ended up having 12 runs total in the game. So you never know going into it, but that is the next scheduled start for Wheeler. Keep an eye on him because it is a little concerning, the velocity issues that it seems like Wheeler has had. Now we go to the Giants game that they just played last night, and I just want to recap it. If those couldn't watch and you just saw what was, you know, happening, or you just caught the highlights, or you already have it and you just want to know exactly what happened in that game, Phillies jumped out to a 3-0 lead right away in the first inning. They have a pretty clean top of the first inning. Taijuan does give up a single to Willy Adames, but he picks him off and then gets a strikeout after that. So the Phillies come up to bat tied at zero. There is no score. Stott leads off with a single. Bryson Stott, who has kind of become the de facto leadoff hitter in this lineup over the last couple of days. Trey Turner then immediately doubles him home to make it 1-0. And then after a strikeout of Harper and a Schwarber walk, Castellanos singles to make it 2-0. Real Muto walks, and that gives the Phillies bases loaded with one out. And to me, this is the issue that we've seen from them certainly in years past, but especially in the early parts of this season so far this year, is they haven't had the ability to knock home runners with runners in scoring position. So when they have that issue in the first inning last night, where when they have bases loaded and one out and you have an opportunity to look, kind of put the Giants away early in a game, right? You've got Max Kepler coming up, who hasn't really done much at all this season for the Phillies. Kepler hitting .224. He did have two hits last night, but only one home run and two RBIs. But I mean, he has not done basically anything since he's become a Philly. he comes up in a massive spot, you know, against the righty. You get the righty and lefty matchup there, and he hits into a fielder's choice, which gets a run home. You know, Schwarber scores, JT's out at second, but it's kind of the microcosm of everything that's gone on with the Phillies of you get a big spot, you get an opportunity to knock guys home and extend a lead, and you make a productive out, which is fine, but, like, does anybody, you know, we all want to see the double in the right center gap or even just a single, just keep the line moving to have more runs get driven in. And unfortunately that doesn't happen. Then Alec Bohm comes up and Alec Bohm, woof. I mean, my goodness, I can't even describe what's going on with Alec Bohm. I mean, he's hitting 156 on this. I mean, it is just, he's got nothing so far this year. I don't know if he's so far in his head because the fans are getting on him. I don't know if he's so far in his head because the Phillies had the trade rumors with him all offseason long. Like, I don't know what the situation is here with Alec Bohm, but it is not good, whatever it is. And that really largely goes for the bottom of the lineup, period. But it has not been good. It has not been good at all. He strikes out, ends the threat there in the first inning. And then Taijuan Walker comes right back and immediately gives up six runs in the top half of the second inning. And that's kind of the start of the demise right there. I mean, he gets the first out of Matt Chapman, but then gives up a double, a walk, a single. He then makes an error, gives up a three-run home run and then a solo home run. And before you know it, the Phillies are down 6-3 and the Giants never look back. Giants end up winning the game 10-4 in total. Phillies only getting one more run to the rest of the game on a Castellanos home run. But just a kind of, like I said, of exactly what's been the issue with the Phillies all season long is the not being able to get the big hit in the big spot and giving up home runs and the offense just not doing anything. The offense not threatening. When they do threaten, they're unable to score. There was another situation in the game last night where in the bottom of the sixth inning, you get a leadoff double from Max Kepler. They're unable to score him. You don't even move him. He just stays there. In the fourth inning, you get a Kepler single and Alec Bohm double. So you get second and third with nobody out, but then you get a Rojas strikeout, a Stott weak flyout, and a Turner ground out. You know, so it's like they are incompetent at trying to score men with when they're in scoring position. And at the same time, it's really felt kind of like it has in the playoffs where, you know, the big guys aren't doing a whole lot. They're not producing, which is certainly an issue. But any time that you get a guy in scoring position with less than two outs, it feels like Marsh or Rojas or anybody that you don't want up is coming up in that situation. It's like Kepler multiple times led off the inning with a big hit and got on base. And then you've got the bottom third of the order after that, which has just been abysmal. And yes, the bottom of the order shouldn't just be automatic outs. We all agree on that. I will be the first to tell you, I think Dave Dombrowski made massive mistakes this offseason in trusting a guy like Brandon Marsh or thinking that Johan Rojas was still going to be some sort of value to them when it's clearly been for at least the first month of the season that has not been the case. Those guys have been dead weight. Those guys have been guys that you shouldn't have had your trust in. You shouldn't have thought we're going to be able to get the job done because they have kind of proven to be what they are. So unfortunate the way that the things have gone for the Phillies so far. Obviously losing 10-4 and now bringing their record to 9-7. The Phillies are looking to get the advantage back in the series and even that up today. And the good news that I have for you, I know we've talked about a lot of bad news. And even still, I said at the beginning, I'm still not saying they're on fraud watch. I just think they're going through a rough patch right now. I think a guy like Max Kepler will pick it up. I think Trey Turner and Alec Bohm will get better. Even Bryce Harper, who's kind of just been pedestrian to this point in the season, I think Bryce Harper will pick it up 100%. And you still got a good pitching staff that I'm confident in. Like I said, Nola has still thrown well. How about we just score him a run? Sanchez has done pretty well as well. I have faith in Sanchez. Jesus Luzardo has been the stopper, and that's what I'm starting with here. Luzardo, the stopper, on the mound tonight. That's the positivity that we can glean from this episode. If you ever want to look at a game and say the Phillies are going to win this one to get back on track, it is tonight. Luzardo is 2-0 with a 1.50 ERA. He's got 19 strikeouts, only four walks. He's been phenomenal up to this point in the season. He has been great. His stuff has been amazing. He's gone. He's thrown 18 innings in his three starts, averages out to six innings a start. I know a lot of people's issue with him was the fact that he might throw a lot of pitches and might not. He might chase outs more than he is trying to get first pitch outs. He might try and get a guy 0-2, and then he's trying to put him away with off-speed pitches out of the zone or with fastballs out of the zone, and he's kind of nibbling, and the count might run full after that, and then he's obviously making him throw more pitches. But he's averaged out to six innings a start so far this season. The last time out against Atlanta, he did scatter six hits, but again, only one walk. And six strikeouts. He's gone 11 strikeouts, eight strikeouts, six strikeouts in his first three starts as a Philly. And this is a guy that, like I said, if he stays healthy, if all goes well on that front, you're going to have a legitimate Cy Young contender. You've got a 1-A to Zach Wheeler if he stays healthy. And obviously it's a big if, but I think he's going to be the stopper of this team for a lot this season. He's been the one guy that has not faltered, been the one guy that I have not had to question or have any sort of lost faith in as he's gone throughout the season. He has just been dynamite. He's been everything that you could have wanted and then more. He's opposed tonight by Justin Verlander, who does not have a win on his record, and he's got a 6.14 earned run average. He has given up 2, 3, and 6 runs in his first three starts of the season. So Verlander gettable. Verlander now, I think Verlander's 42 years old now. So, I mean, he's not the Verlander of a decade ago. He's not even the Verlander of 5 years ago. He is certainly more gettable now than he ever has been in his career. So I would give it advantage Phillies in this pitching matchup tonight. Going through the rest of the series, it's Aaron Nola versus Robbie Ray in game three of the series. Robbie Ray, who was a Cy Young Award winner in the American League back in 2021. He hasn't really pitched a full season since then. He did one in 22 with the Mariners, but since then, he's only pitched in 11 games. He's had a good start to the year for the Giants. He's 3-0 in his first three starts. Remains to be seen exactly how it's going to go against the Phillies. Now, he's got 13 strikeouts to 10 walks, so that would tell you that he's gettable. That would tell you that he's going to put a lot of base runners on base. And then in the final game of the series, you got Christopher Sanchez versus Jordan Hicks. Jordan Hicks, the former Cardinals closer turned starting pitcher for the Giants last year. He only threw 109 innings last year before injury and them trying to limit his innings. Now, Hicks will throw 100-plus miles an hour. He's got a cannon of an arm from the mound there. So he is somebody that is deadly and certainly might be a tough guy for the Phillies to hit, but I have faith in Christopher Sanchez. So, look, and the Phillies did sweep the Giants 4 straight at home last season. Citizens Bank has been a tough place for the Giants to play in recent memory, so I do have faith the Phillies will right the ship. They will find the way to win these games when they need to. I still think that they are going to end up going in a 7-game homestand. I'm going to put them at 5-2. I think they only lose one more game in this homestand. I know it might sound crazy right now, but I think they're going to get back on track and they are going to right the ship and get things back rolling in the National League East, where they currently, as we are now going to whip it around Major League Baseball, they are currently now 2 games back of the New York Mets in the National League East. It has felt like the Phillies have been in first place in the division forever since last season when they basically held it from wire to wire. It seemed like they had not spent too much time outside of first place in the division in the last calendar year, but they are now 2 games behind the New York Mets. The Mets are 11-5. The Mets are playing good baseball. They just took 2 out of 3 in Sacramento. It feels weird to say that. It feels like it should be saying in Oakland. They took 2 out of 3 there. They won game one against Minnesota last night in Minnesota. So they are 11-5 on the year. The Marlins are right on the Phillies' heels. They are 8-7 and only a half game back of the Phillies. The Nationals are 6-10, followed up still in the rear at the end of the division by the Atlanta Braves, who are 5-11. After taking 2 out of 3 from the Phillies, they lost 2 out of 3 in Tampa before beating the Blue Jays last night 8-4. They are rounding out a road trip right now. Got 2 more games left against Toronto before they come back home on Friday and face Minnesota. So that is the current state of the National League East as we know it. Let's whip it around and look at some stats from Major League Baseball. Who's in the lead in what stat categories? Right now in home runs, there is a massive traffic jam at the top of the league in home runs. Wilmer Flores, who only hit 4 home runs all last season, has been red hot to start the year. He's got 6 home runs. Mike Trout, also 6 home runs on the year. Aaron Judge, who's been at 6 now for a week. So it hasn't been a powerful week for Aaron Judge recently. He's also at 6 home runs. Kyle Schwarber tied at the top with 6 home runs. Fernando Tatis Jr., who hit 2 home runs last night, he is at 6 home runs on the year. Tommy Edman, also 6. And Jazz Chisholm and Tyler Soderstrom from the A's are all at 6 home runs. They are tied at the top for the league lead in home runs. Wilmer Flores also finds himself in the lead for RBIs in baseball. He's got 20. Aaron Judge also tied right there with him at 20. Pete Alonso and Kyle Tucker close behind with 19 for Alonso and 18 for Kyle Tucker. The leader in hits for the year, Brendan Donovan of the St. Louis Cardinals, leads the MLB in hits. He's got 25. Kyle Tucker has 23 right behind him with Bryce Terang and Paul Goldschmidt. By the way, Paul Goldschmidt has seemingly turned back the clock for the Yankees. Goldschmidt was the MVP in 2022 when the Phillies knocked the Cardinals out of the playoffs that year, and him and Arenado were kind of the double threat there, and they both did nothing. Since that MVP season, Goldschmidt has really done nothing. His OPS has steadily declined since then. He was at a 981 OPS when he won MVP in 22. That dropped all the way down to an 810 in 2023. Where he only hit 25 home runs compared to the 35 that he had hit the year prior. In the same number of games as he played in 23, in 2024, the OPS dropped even more to 716. He hit 245. His on-base was barely over 300. It was 302, and he only hit 22 home runs in that year as well. So Goldschmidt was on a decline as he made his way to New York in a trade with the Yankees. He has since kind of picked it up, at least for the first 16 games of the season. He's hitting 367 with a 409 on base, a 500 slugging percentage, and his OPS is up to 909. So he's kind of got it more back on that level as he was in his MVP year in 2022. If you've watched any video of him, he can still hit any pitch you throw at him. He's hitting pitches off the dirt and getting base hits out of him. He only has one home run so far in the year, which I believe came in the second game of the season. So he's kind of in a little bit of a home run drought, but he is 22 for his first 60. And he has driven in only 6 runs this year, which is kind of surprising. He hasn't driven in a whole lot of runs, but he's been able to get on base a lot for the Yankees and been a valuable part of the Yankees, who currently lead the American League West at 9-7. They've got the same record as the Phillies. The stolen base leader is O'Neal Cruz. He still leads the league at 8. He has led the league for the last 3 weeks, I believe. Hasn't really added a whole lot to his total, but he's stuck at 8 right now. That's where he's at. Sonny Gray, Justin Steele, Michael King, Brady Singer, Robbie Ray, and a host of others lead the league in wins at 3. Justin Steele, by the way, just lost for the season with the Cubs. They lost him for the entire year, so he's going to be stuck at 3 wins for the entire year. Earned run average, Spencer Schwellenbach, who the Phillies were able to finally get a run off of. They were the only team this year that's gotten run off Schwellenbach in a start. He's got an 0.45 ERA. He leads the league, followed quickly behind by Nick Lodolo and Hunter Green, who are two guys that are the Reds starting pitching staff that I have talked ad nauseum about for a while. Maybe not on this podcast, but just in general, that I think are going to be some of the best in baseball for a long time. They are in second place. They both have a 0.96 ERA and a 0.98 ERA. So they are pitching their butts off for the Reds. Two guys that I have in fantasy, by the way, that I think are going to be great, have been great. I've had them for a number of years. I keep them. They are both very good. Robert Suarez leads the league in saves. He's got 7. Old friend Carlos Estevez, he's in Kansas City now. He's got 5 saves on the year. Wouldn't be nice to have him with the back of the bullpen right now, wouldn't it? I know a lot of us, me included, might not think he's the best pitcher on earth and a guy that we don't really want to see out there for our team, but he does have 5 saves this year. He is 3rd in baseball with that. Cole Reagans leads the league in strikeouts. Mackenzie Gore, after the 16 on opening day, finally takes the back seat in the strikeout total. He still has 32, though. 16 in his first outing. I believe he has started 3 times since then, and he only has 16 combined in those 3 outings. So the Phillies obviously helped him out a little bit there. And then quality starts, Zach Eflin leads the league with quality starts, along with a host of others as well. Eflin now finds himself on the IL in a similar spot that we saw him when he was a Philly. Went to the IL. I believe it is a right lat strain for Eflin. So former friend Zach Eflin unfortunately finds his way on the Orioles injured list. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of Phillies Today. Look, the Phillies aren't in a great spot right now. They have not played well the last couple of games, but I still think that they're going to win. They got 6 games left on this homestand. I'm still saying they go 5-1, so they end up going 5-2 in total on the homestand. Remember what I said when you listen to this before you go to the game. Jesus Luzardo is going to be the stopper. He will get the Phillies back on track. They'll get to Verlander, and Luzardo will have another very successful home start for the Phils. If you were going to the game tonight, enjoy it. I'm jealous you get to see a Luzardo gem. I really want to make sure I get my way down to the ballpark this year to see one of his starts, because if you haven't listened, I think he's really good, and he's going to be the stopper tonight. All right, have a great rest of your day, everybody. Go Phils. Hopefully they can get this back on track and find a way to just kind of keep pace with the Mets, battle with the Mets for first place in the division.